Let me just pray and then we'll jump into the message this morning. Father, we do just thank you for, as Colin has already showed us in the children's talk, that we as a church family are a very unique group of people, Lord, from all different walks of life, from all different ages, yet we're just so blessed that you can just use us. You can bring us together and just use us for your glory. And I just pray this morning, Lord, as we just unpack this passage in Corinthians, and may we be encouraged that each of us has a role to play, Lord, and that you would be working in our hearts already now to draw us to those roles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. So our message today is called In on the Play. In Mark chapter 15, verse 45, it says, a very well-known verse, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Just to start off this morning, I just wanted to share a story that maybe some of you have probably heard before. It's about this unusual church. And let me see if this is working. Yep. And this church has some unusual members. It has a everybody, a somebody, an anybody, and a nobody. And one day, the church had a very important job that they needed to get done. And everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. And when nobody did it, everybody got mad, because it was anybody's job, but everybody thought that somebody would do it, but nobody did it. So, consequently, everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. It's a funny story, isn't it? When you read it, it's a bit of a tongue twister as well, but it would be even funnier, I think, if it didn't actually ring so true in many of our churches today. The Apostle Paul wrote a lot of letters over his life to many different people and churches as well. And one thing that, if you've read many of Paul's letters, that you might know is he was really passionate about serving and about seeing Christians and the church serving, not just within our circle, but also outside of the church circle as well. And he talks about this on a number of different occasions. In Romans chapter 12, you can read about it, in Ephesians chapter 4, and the passage that was read for us today that we'll be looking at in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in all of these passages, Paul talks about these gifts that God has given us. But one thing he mentions whenever he refers to these gifts is we haven't been blessed with these gifts by God for our own edification and our own glorification, but rather he always points back to these gifts that we've been given are to be used to build up the church through our service. And he says it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to look today and we're going to see the three steps that we'll need to take in order for us as LCC or as individual believers can be in on the play with Jesus and his church. The first step that we're going to look at is for us to be able to be in on the play, the first thing we need to know is, what are our gifts? So we need to identify our gifts. We see in 1 Corinthians 12:4 to 7, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Once again, we see Paul reiterating that there are different gifts. We don't all here, as Colin alluded to this morning, is we don't all have the same gift. But Paul also does assure us that even though we've each got different gifts, all of our gifts that we've been given are to be used are coming from God. And in verses 8 to 10, Paul lists off some of these gifts in Corinthians, but then also he mentions a more extensive list in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, if you want to look at that at another time, to see a broader list of the gifts and talents that people have been given. And even us as a church, we probably know, or even in your own life, you know, from the different people that you're with, that you spend time with, and even coming to church here, you can see that we all have different talents. We all have different gifts and different strengths. And it might be like coming together for a working bee or something at the church. And at the end of the working bee, you might be that person that felt, oh, that job just took forever to complete. Like, we just weren't interested in that. It's not your gifting. Whereas other people, that it was a real joy for them to come and do that job, to dig a hole, and they just really, they get refreshment from doing that. And in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each of our gifts are unique, but as I mentioned already, they can all be used to serve God in different ways. And when we do serve God in a way where we are gifted, we get that sense of excitement, that sense of passion. Even when you hear someone talking about an area that you're gifted in, you can just feel almost like butterflies building up inside, because you know, oh, that's something that I love doing, and you get encouraged by hearing other people talk about it. And because God created you with that gift, and he created you to be you. He didn't create you to be the person next to you. Because if he did, like Colin said, we would all be stuck up on the stage and no one to sing to. But God didn't just give us these gifts to let us be. Rather, he gave every one of us the Holy Spirit. So he didn't just give us the gifts and expect us to understand where to use them or how to use them. And it's important because each one of us with our unique gifts has the Holy Spirit, and that is why we're able to have this sense of unity when we come together in Christ. And we have this guide that can help us learn and understand the different gifts and how they fit together here within the church. And we see this in verse 11 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 11. All of these works are of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. All along, God has had a plan. He planned for you to have the gifts that you've been given. He planned for you to be using those gifts as well, to be serving others. And he's done all this not because he actually needs us or requires our service. Rather, he's done this because he knows it benefits us actually more. Giving us these gifts and drawing us together as the body of Christ, it benefits us when we serve together. So now, once you've identified your gift, and where you need to find where God wants you to use that gift. And there's no sort of simple formula of you just plug in this, my personality, and it just spits out a whole heap of gifts that you can do. Once you've identified your gifts, you need to know where God wants you to use those gifts. Because sometimes we can think once you become a Christian, it's like, oh, we'll just automatically get slotted and all my gifts will be revealed and I know where to serve and where to go and what to do. But if you were like me when I first became a Christian, it wasn't really like that. I had to make a lot of choices on what might be something I'm interested in, and then finding out that actually I'm not even gifted in that area either. But because all of us have these gifts that we've been given, we often can feel like we're not sure where to use them. And so instead of actually going and trying, the easier thing that we can find to do is that we just tend to just not serve at all. Rather than taking a chance and making a mistake, we often find it easier to just stay where we are and just come to church, and maybe you know where one of your giftings is and you just keep focusing on that. But if we want to be in on the play with what Jesus is doing, and as times are changing, we need to be willing to take this idea of these gifts that we might have and actually be willing to have a go, to try something new. And it's not always going to be this joyful experience, like maybe you don't enjoy doing manual labor, or you don't enjoy gardening, or you don't enjoy making a coffee. But you will never know if that's where God has gifted you until you have a go. So in order for us to be in on the play with God, we need to identify our gifts. And then secondly, in order to be in on the play, we need to find your role. And we see this again, Paul mentioning it as he refers to the church, as Colin mentioned as well, as a body. The body has lots of different parts, and we know that the body play different roles. And just like the family of Christ is made up of many different people with many different gifts, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. He said, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, and so it is with Christ. And then from verse 12, we jump down to verse 15 to 20, and he starts to expand, as Colin alluded to. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts of the body, many parts but one body. So if you know Paul's writing at all, he tends to repeat things again and again and again. And in this case, it's quite extensive because there's 13 times of repetition, but it means he's doing that because he's trying to make a point. He wants something to stick out to his readers. But sadly for us today, what Paul is alluding to probably isn't really fully understood because of the cultural context we're living in today. See, in Paul's time, of writing these letters, there was a significant amount of temples around where people would go and they'd worship false gods. And in a number of different places he ministered, he was faced with troubles, with people stuck in these temptations. And one of the particular temples was one that was dedicated to a god of healing. And in the way that they use this temple is actually quite interesting and sort of brings out a lot more strength to what Paul is reiterating here, is they would actually go and they would get clay, and they would make a shape out of the clay of whatever part of their body that they were looking to get healed. And then they would make it out of clay, and then you can't really see it very well, unfortunately, here, but they would take this piece of clay that they've shaped into maybe a hand, if it was a hand that was sore, and then they would take it to the temple, and they would hang it up in the temple while they prayed for healing for this part of their body. And so when Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, you can see that they have had this understanding that the body has been used in such a promiscuous way that Paul is trying to encourage them and show them that as the church, that we or they should have been the good example of what the body was supposed to look like to the rest of the world. But Paul is saying that we can only do this if we're all working together. He talks about the body again and again and again, and he finishes it off that if we were all one part, where would the body be? If there are many parts but one body. So Paul's trying to encourage us that even though we have many different talents, the body, just like the body, needs all the different parts to function properly. Here at LCC, we have all sorts of different people. We have all sorts of different ages and all sorts of different talents. Colin mentioned a few of them this morning already, but we have some ladies that meet Tuesday afternoons to pray for the church on a weekly basis. We have someone that comes and cleans the church on a regular basis. We have people who come out on Sunday nights and Sunday afternoons to help with the food ministry. We have people who come out to set up and pack up for Brighton Light. So the question is maybe where could our talents be used? LCC has so many opportunities for people to be serving in different areas. Home groups, Sunday school, Brighton Light, worship, food ministry. There's things outside of LCC that we're connected with, like Easter camp run by the Baptist Union, or things like cleaning the church, or helping with tech, or even the welcome team, or making coffees. And the list could really continue to go on and on. And sadly, it often is a problem when we look at some of these things on the list and you think, I don't want to do that. That's not something where I would get recognized in, or that's, as Colin mentioned with Johnny doing the cleaning, it's not something that he gets recognized for or that we ever see, really, unless it's not done. And that's the challenge for us, is when we look at these things and we look at the gifts that we have, we often think about what can we gain from them. But the challenge is, through our service, whose life could you impact? So we know, firstly, that we need to identify our gifts. And then secondly, we need to find our role. And the third thing we need to do is we need to do our part. And Paul continues on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he says in verse 21, he says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.'" And just like the body requires all of its parts to function, it's the same here for the church. If we want to see the kingdom and LCC continue to grow in our region, we need to be willing to do our part. We've all been placed together, as we know, for a reason. Some of us are good at worship. Some of us are good at the tech side of things. Some of us are good at doing just set up and pack up. But the truth is, it's when we work together with God that we will see incredible things happen. And you've probably experienced it before in your life, as I know that I have, at things where you have numbers of Christians coming together and serving together with their different talents and gifts. Things like church camps, or even just bigger family picnics, or carols events, and different sort of things that we often run where people are willing to get involved. And what we see in those situations is when large numbers of people are willing to come together as the body of Christ and serve with each other, we see God move. And Paul continues on in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 22 to 26. And he says, "On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. As I mentioned already, one of the biggest struggles that we have with serving is our pride. And Paul here is implying in these verses that we just read that from our own lives, pride is an issue. We want that gratification. We want the praise. We want the honour. And that's often the times when we like to serve. We like to serve in areas that grant us that. But sadly, people often don't like serving in those areas where we don't get recognised. Yet, as Paul mentioned here in these verses, that those areas where we often don't get recognised, like things like the cleaning, they're often some of the most important places, or like praying. According to God, these things are more important, the things that are not seen, like our body parts, that the things that we consider weak, without them, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we need to even survive. And that's why the same applies to the church. We might think that certain areas of service are below us, yet those areas are often the times that are of greater importance. And you can think of it like this. It's like joining a soccer team. If anybody likes soccer, we all know that the favourite role in a soccer team is the striker, because they're the one that gets all the fame and glory. All the famous people we know about are often the goal scorers. Yet, what's interesting is probably when the team is first come together, all the players want to be the striker and they go through the tryouts. And what does the coach do? The coach, he sits back and he watches the players as they go through their tryouts for the different roles. He watches them and he learns their talents and he learns their skills that each player has. And then from his experience as a coach, he then places them where their talents will be used best. And that means that everyone's not the striker. But in the same way as that soccer coach, God is our coach. He knows our talents, even before we're born. And he gives us opportunities to use those talents to serve him. But the challenge is, for us, he might give us an opportunity in an area where we won't get fame and fortune. But the challenge is for us, is are we going to do our part? Are we going to take that step and maybe try something new? Maybe you don't know how to use tech stuff, or you think that you don't know how to use tech stuff, but until you actually try something new, or maybe serving in Sunday school, or making a coffee, or even just welcoming people at the door, you can think, oh, I just would never be good at saying hello and giving someone a smile. Trying something new or something that we wouldn't usually do. When we are in on the play with God, we become more unified. We'll start having concern for each other. We'll start caring for each other more when we're serving together. When one person suffers, we will start gathering around and sharing in their suffering together. And just the same, when one person rejoices, when we're serving together, there's that unity where we all get to rejoice. As most of you know, I grew up here in South Australia, and so I was always close to my family, and I didn't really understand this importance of family until we left them and moved up to Queensland. They were always here when we lived here. There were always family gatherings happening and birthday parties and all sorts of dinners. And so sometimes you know what it's like, family dinner. You're like, oh, actually, it's more of an annoyance than it is a pleasure sometimes. People get on your nerves and whatever. But when you live so far away from your family, you start to realise that, oh, actually, the family gatherings don't happen. Well, they do happen, but you're not able to get to them all the time. And it was in that time when I learnt to cherish the times as a family that we had together because I knew that they were only short. And that's exactly what Paul is saying about the church. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Every one of us here, from the little children that we have going out to Sunday school, or even the little newborn baby here that we have, to the oldest person here at church, we are all a part of a family, of this family. Every single one of us has a part to play in that family as well. And that's why we come and serve together, because we know as followers of Christ, it's not about our personal gratification, but rather it's about seeing God, seeing God's will being done, and that God's work is accomplished here at LCC and in our surrounding regions and circles of influence. And when we do this, Paul says that we will start to be an example to the world on how we should be treating one another. But the challenge is if we aren't doing what Paul is saying, if we aren't willing to be unified and serving together, using our gifts, trying new things out, then what happens when the world looks at us as a church, as this example for the world to follow, and they say, "You look just like us"? We are all a part of the body of Christ. So what steps do you need to take, is the challenge now, in order to be in on the play? Maybe you're still at that point of identifying what your giftings are. Or maybe you know some of the giftings, but you just don't know where to put them into action yet. You're still trying to find your role here at LCC. Or maybe you just have everything in place and you're just not taking that step to have a go, to try something out, to try something new, to do your part. Because the encouragement to us that I want to leave us on as we finish is that I want us to be a church that is an example to the world, that is an example to the people that walk up and down our street every day almost. And let us show them what it looks like to serve as a unified family that is in on the play with Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for Paul's messages, Lord, that he wrote to many different churches over his lifetime. And we thank you, Lord, that even though sometimes things contextually or culturally are hard for us to understand and grasp, that his word still applies so well to our lives today. And Lord, I just thank you for LCC, and I do thank you, Lord, for all the people who are using the gifts that you've given them to serve in different capacities here, Lord. And Lord, I just continue to pray as new people come into the church, as times change and new giftings are revealed or understood, Lord, that you would just challenge us as followers of you to be pursuing where we can use these gifts. So we just pray, Lord, that in all things that we do, that we would be humble enough to serve in any area, and that the goal of our serving would be to see your name glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.